Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving. This is my home. They're going to need a wrecking ball to take me out of here. They're going to need to send in the National Guard or SWAT team because I ain't going nowhere.
Your Tuesday was a lot better than your Monday for a variety of reasons. According to multiple reports, Barry Odom, Jamil Walker are returning to the University of Arkansas. You got another football commit. Tyquias Crawford has committed to the University of Arkansas, four-star out of Carthage, Texas, played his time at Charlotte this past season. I was pumped. Devontae Smith won the Heisman last night, and I was so happy to not only see him win it, but it no longer be just a quarterback award. We got to talk about that. College football playoff may be postponed. That's something we'll have to keep an eye on. We heard from Heather Dinich on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin right before we came on. The University of Arkansas officially announced Kenny Guyton as the wide receivers coach here at the U of A. And he got Tennessee, Arkansas tonight in Hog basketball. So much to get to this morning on a What's Your Beef Wednesday, which we will be closing out the show with as well today.
Yeah, it's a loaded show. And can we start with the Heisman? Because I know you're most excited about that. You say it's no longer just a quarterback award. I'd like to think you're right. I do believe this is probably just a one-off because it's like every fifth or sixth year a running back from Alabama generally will get the award, and that's generally when there's just not a standout quarterback. But it's been, 30 years since a wide receiver has won the award, 1991. So they got it right. I had no faith that Devontae Smith was actually going to win it just based on the track record and who has won it the last 30 years. I felt one of the quarterbacks was going to win it just because that's what's happened, but they got it right. The best player won the award, and I was glad to see the system actually work, this year. It doesn't always happen.
If you look at the games Devontae Smith had against the highest caliber of competition, whether it's Georgia, whether it was three touchdowns against Notre Dame this past weekend, whether it was against Florida, he just stood out so much. SEC championship, college football playoff, he was always reliable, always there. He had one of the best catches of the year over his former friend. I say former friend, they're probably still friends, Derek Stingley Jr. They're both Louisiana football players, high school football players. Led the FBS in touchdowns, catches, and yards. Well, unbelievable wide receiver. Stepped up when Jalen Waddle went down in that Tennessee game. And I think that played into a lot of, hey, you just had, I mean, there was no Judy. There was no Ruggs. There was no Waddle. He was the guy. Now, I say that, Billingsley, Forrestall, you got Najee Harris. I mean, Mac Jones is not a snub. I mean, there's a reason.
A bunch of slouches you're going over.
Yeah, he's not. He was a Heisman finalist for a reason. But like you, I was unsure if they were going to make the right decision, the trust, the former Heisman winners, the voters. But thank goodness for guys like Tom Murphy and Clay Henry who voted the right way, as we saw with the Heisman presentation last night.
Yeah, and maybe this was the year with the uneven schedules. Was Trevor Lawrence maybe not playing against Notre Dame the first time a difference maker? You said he doubled him up. Maybe if he plays and plays well in that first one, who knows what the dynamics of the rest of the season look like? I don't know. I just know that everything lined up, and every time he was on the field, he was the star of the show. Certainly when he played against Arkansas. Now, Arkansas certainly wasn't a premier team in college football this year.
But he changed the game.
But he changed the game with the punt return. Yeah. So it wasn't just receiving yards, and he mentioned that in his comments a bit, being able to display and showcase his skills at something other than just being a wide receiver. And Arkansas was one of those games, unfortunately for Razorback fans, he put that on display. So and maybe that was a moment because it's later in the year. end of the regular season. Ballots are a little more seriously taken at that point. People are really starting to weigh games a little heavier. Highlight play, yeah, maybe that play was a bigger factor in some people's considerations. But absolutely, I think they got it right. I didn't have faith that they would because the quarterbacks always seem to get the edge. But the best player in college football did win the Heisman this year.
It is an interesting dynamic when you have two players from the same football team up for the award. I think the most prevalent example is 2004-2005. Leiner wins in 04. Bush wins in 05. Now, I know they took it away from him or whatever, but you had Mac Jones. You had Devontae Smith. Even Najee Harris was in the top five. He just wasn't a finalist for this. So it was that, that whole part of the equation kind of plays into a lot. And I know you didn't get a chance to listen to the presentation. Listen, you just saw the announcement.
Yeah.
But once again, like he does with the Masters every year, Wright Thompson delivered. Now, Tom Rinaldi is leaving ESPN, or excuse me, has left ESPN for Fox Sports. So they're going to be looking for a guy to have that same, to be able to draw people in with great narration. And Tom Rinaldi writes his stuff. Scott Van Pelt was really good at that. Wright Thompson is ESPN's best chip right now when it comes to that particular category. And once again, last night when you heard him right up to the Heisman presentation, he delivered.
Yeah, Wright Thompson is also known for writing very lengthy pieces. So when he writes a column or he writes a piece generally back when they had the ESPN the magazine, but he puts something on the website. It's a long read, but he does some great stuff, and they do need someone that can not only write it but then narrate it and evoke the emotion. So
what's his only downfall?
He probably doesn't look as good on TV as Rinaldi.
That's fair, but he went to Mizzou. That's his only.
Mizzou's one of those. Mizzou and Syracuse, I guess, are the premier broadcasting schools in the country. So.
And Arkansas. You can throw Arkansas in that loop. No, they're not. It's Northwestern, Missouri, and Syracuse. Yeah, those three stand out amongst the rest. But Wright is just so good. He's so fantastic. Like, you know how certain guys have voices when it comes to either sports radio, TV, when writers are, he has one of those voices that just sucks you in.
Yeah.
And he was able to do that last night. Thought another part of what happened last night, and again, we'll get to the Barry Odom, Jamil Walker, and all the other news coming up here on the Morning Rush, but really with this not being last night being kind of the biggest.
It's a shame. The Heisman's not going to get the attention. Generally, Saturday, it's there in New York. Mm-hmm. The Heisman, it's not an afterthought, but it's certainly not the spotlight it always is.
For Tennessee fans to continuously see that one picture of Trevor Lawrence in Vols gear, I don't know how a piece of them doesn't die inside every single time they see that. Trevor grew up a Tennessee fan, and for him to choose Clemson as out of Cartersville, Georgia, and was unbelievable there. Him and Justin actually didn't live too far from each other, really competed in that same area. That just, as a Vols fan, you have to be, I don't know, Craig and Deers really are mainstay Vols fan. Every time Craig probably sees that picture, based on the guys that they've had, whether it's Jared Garantano, Harrison Bailey, I mean, they really haven't had a quarterback since, what, Ainge? Clawson? Jimmy Clawson? Has it been that long? I mean,
Peyton Manning.
Josh Dobbs. Like, I don't know if you can put Josh Dobbs in that category. Some would say T. Martin. I'd say T. Martin a year after him. But that's a while for a blue blood program in college football.
Along those lines of thinking, and I know we got to get out of here, but doesn't a little piece of the Georgia fans die every time they watch Justin Fields? I mean, just a little bit. It's not like Georgia suffered as a program, but my goodness. You got to wonder what if. Just what if.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, you think about the quarterback was the issue this year.
Yeah, I know.
I know that JT Daniels came in and played better than Stetson Bennett. I want to say Stedman Bailey. That's a former wide receiver for, I think, the West Virginia Mountaineers. But Stetson Bennett, what's-his-face transferred. Dwayne Mathis transferred or was in the portal or whatever. Quarterback was a huge issue for Georgia.
I want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach pear. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra Organic Seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hogs!
continuity within your coaching staff, whether it's Barry Odom, whether it's Dabo Swinney, whether it's Nick Saban. Saban's been able to overcome a lot of coaching turnover in his time. But for a guy that's trying to build a program, you want to be able to replace and replace with better. And really, not even just replace, you want to be able to keep the guys and retain the guys on your staff. And so far, Sam Pittman, he's 2 for 3. Lost Justin Stepp to South Carolina. You're 3 for 4 because you retained Barry Odom last year with the pay raise. You did it again this year. You retained Brad Davis last year with the pay raise, and then you also retained Jamil Walker. So, and that's not to say that those guys couldn't get offered again, and you'll have to do the same thing again. Well, but it's as you know, Tommy, it's in the coaching community, that if you have good coaches, this is going to be a continuous conversation.
Yeah, and you know, you're not done with this process. May not be done with it by the end of this week or end of next week. Staffs are going to continue to change for another 10 days, 15 days, whatever that time period may be. But next year, I don't know what the number will be. And obviously, the win total was 3 this year, and people had interest in Barry Odom. Maybe there was more interest than we publicly know about Kendall Briles or some of your other assistants that seemingly are not on the move at this point. If Arkansas wins 7 or 8 ball games, there's going to be more interest in many of your staff members if you get to that point. You win, and let's just assume, for the sake of conversation, you get back to normalcy and you have 4 non-conference games, 8 conference games, and the schedule's set up like normal. Let's just say you win 3 of those 4 non-conference games. If you win 3, 4 conference games next year, you're talking about 7 wins, perhaps. You know, so you're going to start getting people interested in more of your staff because you're unfortunately still viewed it by many in the same conversation, or at least in the same paragraph, as the Vanderbilts of the world, the Kentuckys of the world. You're Arkansas in a lot of people's eyes. Hey, if you can go do that at Arkansas, because this was a program not long ago only winning 2 games a year and no conference games. We know the resume. We know the facts. There can be that kind of turnaround with that leadership and that coaching. Then, you know, let's bring them here with better recruiting, better players, and think what that coaching could accomplish here. So there's still that viewpoint from the outside world. We don't see it that way here, but we know Arkansas is a better program than those others. But there are many that view Arkansas in that same group.
One of those guys that was plucked away was Justin Stepp, and he released a statement thanking the Arkansas program yesterday. Officially now, the U of A finally put it out that Kenny Guyton is your new wide receiver coach. Got a 2-year deal. We mentioned that he was former quarterback of Ohio State, coached in Houston, was at Colorado State this past season. He's had some success, and he's a likable guy from a lot of different people. And I told you and Clay this yesterday, I just hate when you have a new assistant coach that no one has any idea about, that everyone just flocks and says this is the best hire ever.
I don't have an opinion because I know nothing about his ability.
I would rather you say that than say this is a fantastic, incredible best hire that they could have made.
And I have full faith and confidence that Kendall Briles and Sam Pittman have hired a guy that tactically can execute coaching the position of wide receivers. I'm not worried at all about, can this guy...
It's not like the cupboard is bare either.
Exactly. I'm not worried about, can he teach the route tree? I'm more concerned about replacing Justin Stepp as a recruiter, because we do know Justin Stepp was an incredible recruiter. That's why he was making $400,000 a year as a wide receivers coach at Arkansas. Kenny Guyton's going to make $300,000 to start out. So that does give Arkansas $100,000 to disperse amongst the staff elsewhere if needed, to take care of Odom and Walker and anybody else that they may need to, you know, use some of those funds. So you at least got that cushion, I guess, now. But my concern is not with Guyton as a – I don't think they'd hire someone that doesn't know how to coach the position. But how do you – I mean, you can coach, I guess you can – coach up certain things about recruiting, but you're either a recruiter or you're not. It would be my opinion. How's Kenny Guyton compared to Justin Stepp as a recruiter? That's That, to me, is the tough part to replace.
Justin Stepp brought in 7 4 stars, most notably the guy that you love watching every Saturday during an Arkansas football game, Traylon Burks, kid out of Warren, Arkansas, who's just been so fun. He's blossomed. He's starting to flourish, and you hope to see that in year number two of Kendall Briles. And what I mentioned about the cupboard, when you have Burks, mm-hmm. Warren coming back, Mike Woods, who's a really solid second or two guy in this league. Then you have Jaquelin Crawford, who's going to be eligible. You bring in Keetron Jackson. You brought in Darren Turner, Megatron from last year. There's a lot of talent in that wide receiver room. So I don't really know if we're going to be able to determine what kind of caliber Kenny Guyton is of a coach until we see him on the recruiting trail and we see if he stays here the next couple years, what he's able to do with the incoming other players.
And I know you don't have the answer to this, but I'm going to throw out a question just for conversation. Can Kenny Guyton be the guy to make Trey Knox finally click? I mean, that has not worked so far as on the field. And there is so much promise there. Well, wouldn't you love to see that finally work where something just in the confidence, in the scheme, and something. I don't know what it is, but we just know that Trey Knox sure seems to have a lot of promise and potential that just hasn't been realized yet. Maybe there's just something with the way they go about the business. Maybe there's just one little thing that just clicks with a new voice. I don't know.
Trey Knox will not be in an Arkansas uniform.
And you may be right about that.
This season. And it sucks because he's my favorite wide receiver. I mean, I love that guy. He will not be in an Arkansas uniform. And that is not me with inside knowledge. This is not me with insider information. This is just a plain, I don't even know if I can call it an educated guess. This is just a guess.
Okay, but
Trey Knox will not be in an Arkansas wide receiver this year.
And that's that is a good observation based on the way things have played out. But if he's here, maybe a new position coach could finally make the, because we have seen nothing to this point. All I'm saying is sometimes a new coach, a new voice in a job situation, sometimes just having a new supervisor, a new boss, a new whatever, just takes your confidence level or your way of thinking or your way of viewing something in a new direction, and it all clicks all of a sudden. I don't know what's going on. I just know that you and I both see Trey Knox as a guy that ought to be producing, and he hasn't. Maybe, if nothing else, Kenny Guyton could get that guy to work it on the field.
So with Trey Knox, and we'll end on this, Knox, was it the Auburn or Mississippi State game that he dropped that two-point conversion that hit him in the hands?
The Auburn game the back line of the end zone.
Yeah, yeah. That would end the final score of that football game. Did Auburn win that game by two or three?
Two, wouldn't it?
Okay. So that could have been the difference. I'm forgetting the exact score.
But that to say that was the difference in the game would be unfair.
I know, but what I'm comparing that to is 2 years ago, do you remember the Little Rock game, the touchdown that Jack Lindsey threw? Off the top of your head.
Not off the top
of your head. If you don't, it's okay. I'll explain it. So Jack Lindsey basically throws up a duck. Trey Knox has to go dive for it and makes a play over a much smaller defender. I've just not understood in the past 2 years why he's just not thrown a jump ball. I don't know if we, outside of the, and I know he had that drop, and people say, well, Ty, he dropped it in the Auburn game. You have to take advantage of his abilities. We've seen that he can't really get open specifically this year. You have to take advantage of his 6'5 frame. Just throw him a jump ball. It's not complex. It's not trigonometry.
Throw him a
jump ball. Yeah. It's not that hard. You want to take advantage of his abilities? Use that 6'5 frame. It's not that hard. All right, let's
30-28 was that.
Frame. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was a two-point game, but I couldn't remember exactly. Let's welcome in Randy in Fort Smith to the conversation. He has a remark on Justin Stepp this morning. Randy, you go ahead, man.
Well, I was just going to say that I haven't heard anybody say that the new wide receiver coach was a step up. I mean, that's yet to be seen, but Stepp recruiting in Arkansas is, you want to look at it, Burks was coming to Arkansas if I was the coach. don't get me wrong. I wish him well. I don't blame anybody for moving back home to be by their family, getting a little bit of a raise. And I haven't heard anybody say the new coach is better. I want to take a wait and see, but I bet you he'll recruit better at Arkansas, just as Steph recruited better at Arkansas than he did at SMU. Now, on Knox, I don't think he's what Riles' offense is looking for. I think they're looking for more speed. From some of the things I read, I do think Knox is a very hard worker. good kid from people that actually watch practices. So, and I don't think he's, from what I know, I don't think he's leaving unless he just feels like the, you know, when you play college sports, you know what's brought in. And if you're practicing with people, you know if you're as good or better than them. And so if he leaves, it'll be because he doesn't think he can get on the field. And once again, I don't blame kids for leaving if they're not good enough to play. But I think Knox could be a weapon if he stays. I don't think he's a difference maker. I don't think he ever will be a difference maker. I do think maybe a couple of these new wide receivers might actually be difference makers. And so I think what's hurting him is going to be a lot of competition in that room, thanks to Step. I want to give him credit. But I haven't heard – I mean, I don't know. You know, one of y'all said that we're calling the new wide receiver coach the best ever. I think the good thing about the guy is that he's a step up.
Are you on Twitter? Do you have a Twitter account?
Oh, no.
Oh, there you go. So, if you go on Twitter, there's just a lot of reaction. I mean, and this isn't just Kenny Guy. Anytime Arkansas, you know, brings in a coach or a player, it's just the greatest thing since sliced bread. And
I'm talking about people that I know football, that I talk to, and that the coffee shop guys that you make fun of quite often. I mean, I don't hear none of us say that. I mean, here's the thing on him. Right now, if you're just looking, he's probably considered a step down. But I also know a lot of people, you know, Step did well at Arkansas. I think this new guy, let's see how he does. You know what I mean? But I am not impressed with the coaching that's went on with the wide receivers. But all these four-star guys, how many of them have transferred out, too, while he was here?
Shamar Nash, TQ Jackson. Is there one more? Or is that it? That might be it.
But anyway, I don't think if you're bashing Step and doing that, you're just – You know, I don't know. I hope the guy is a step up. We'll see, but you have to be an idiot at this point.
I don't think you're
really saying that on Twitter, which honestly, that's the reason I'm not on Twitter. because it's a cesspool. And I mean, my own opinion is, I don't ever say anything on the phone or anything else that I wouldn't say to somebody's face.
Smart. Randy, appreciate it.
Randy, appreciate the call. Here's the thing. Kenny Guyton's 29 years old. His career is not even blossomed or bloomed or whatever adjective you want to give. I mean, he hasn't had a chance to even begin to unfold his career yet. So this is the first big opportunity he has had in his career. We're going to see what he makes of it. So here's where you start forming an opinion about him as a assistant coach at a Power 5 level, and to see if he can do this job. So clearly, Sam Pittman and Kendall Briles have the confidence in him to be able to do it. But he's 29 years old. So to say at this point he has had enough runway or enough track record, he was still a player, played through 2013 at Ohio State? I mean, so just do the math and figure it out. I mean, I know this. I was still learning on the job a lot. I'm still learning today, but I was certainly learning on the job at 29 years old what I was doing. And I'm still figuring out new things all the time. But I think this the guy will be just fine. But, I mean, I think Ty's point, my point, was you've got a lot of fan reaction, a lot of certain people in the media's reaction, talking about home run hires, and putting labels on this yet that I just don't think we can quite go that far.
They just don't know. That's the
We don't know because of where he's been yet, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be great here.
No, that's fair.
We just got to give him time.
Yeah.
Again, he hasn't been at Georgia before. He hasn't been at Bama before, or LSU before. This is his first big opportunity, and he may crush it. He may knock it out of the park. Let's give him a chance to do that, too.
Let's hope he does. Other Hog news, Jaquelin Crawford, he is eligible for this next season. Tykeus Crawford, four-star out of Carthage, Texas, was at Charlotte, originally committed to the Razorbacks. He committed again yesterday. He's got 5 years to play four seasons with this COVID years. Really excited about his potential up there at Arkansas. If you haven't heard, Barry Odom, Jamil Walker, both coming back, confirmed by Hawk Sports, was also confirmed by the Pig Trail Nation and other outlets that they are coming back. Jamil Walker put something out on on Twitter, and then Hunter Yearcheck and Sam Pittman also put something out. So it's good to see them back. 2022 basketball news. Nick Smith, number one player in the state of Arkansas, top 45 kid, has listed his top 10. Arkansas is in it along with Auburn, Georgetown, Florida, Ole Miss, North Carolina, Kansas, Texas, Baylor, and Oral Roberts. Tommy, a lot of blue bloods in there that almost said geez, Eric Musselman is going to have to compete against.
Well, I mean, and if you're not amongst those schools, you're not on the right guys, right? That's who you want to be after. Arkansas needs to have more one-and-done type players that you're on. You're hoping to see. I mean, as much as you'd like to see Moses Moody here for a second year, that's probably unlikely. But to build a program and be back into Sweet 16 territory more often than not, those are the kind of players you got to be on. So Nick Smith appears to be another player that's going to fit perhaps that mold. So
the Heisman Trophy, in Tommy and I's estimation, the voters for that award made the right decision last night when Devontae Smith won it. Now, we were both under the impression that the wrong decision was going to be made and they were going to give it to a quarterback. I told you before I would have been okay if Trevor won it, but I wouldn't have been okay if Mac won it.
Well, and I said, you pointed out, hey, the odds on favorite in Vegas is Devontae Smith. So I said, well, pay attention to that. Those guys know that they know a lot. And what they do is, you know, they tabulate what people put in the papers and on the internet and places that do have ballots. And they know things. They put in their research. So that was a good stat by you, because Vegas, they don't just put odds out with no research. So, you know, that was a good thing to pay attention to, is what Vegas is saying there and always is. So they got it right. I mean, he was the player that was most exciting, best to watch, versatile, and changed the game more than anything. But we've seen it before where the best player didn't always win. And I know you're quick to point out, you know, 06 and 07 was the first example of Darren McFadden not winning. That, you know, and it happens, because you got all the former players are overwhelmingly quarterbacks that vote, and then, you know, quarterbacks have the stats. It's a stat-driven world. So glad to see that wide receiver for the first time in, what, 1991? Last time a wide receiver won it. So, you know, basically 30 years since a receiver's won it.
The college football playoff next Monday is in peril. Right now there's COVID cases going on with Ohio State, but they might not have a position group according to certain reports. So that's going on. And I know that there's a lot of people frustrated with the fact that Ohio State is even there in the first place, especially Nick Saban's daughter. We'll get to that more coming up. But this is something to keep an eye on, what the college football playoff selection committee is going to do. Bill Hancock has already come out and said they're headed for Monday night, planning to go as usual. But we know things in this COVID world are subject to change.
Well, they put out their contingency plans last week, whatever day it was, like that. The 18th would be their plan B. You know, so they have a contingency to move it back. So. You know, they even had contingencies for the semifinals. They didn't have to go through with those. So there is a plan in place should something happen. And neither one of us, nobody wants to see this game played without the starting quarterback or without the key players. So hopefully you can play this game with both teams with all the key players in it. I would much rather see it delayed a week than a Devontae Smith out, Mac Jones out, Justin Fields out, anybody out that would be a key factor in the game offensively or defensively.
See, to me, I know that I've been kind of holding the flag for Ohio State, but in this situation, I think they should. If Ohio State has the threshold of 53 players, they should play the game. It's not Alabama's fault. I mean, that they should play the game, in my opinion. That's just that they've got the benefit of the doubt at every turn, at every corner and stuff, which lamented, so many others have lamented. They need to play the game. They have the benefit of playing what? Alabama's now played 12 games. Ohio State's at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Get over
it. Boy, you got the shoe on the other foot today.
That's what I'm switching. Changed horses. Get over it. Here. So, well, it's a different situation.
So
that's a completely different. I hope Alabama wins this game. I just wanted all I said was I wanted Ohio State to prove their top 14. They did against Clemson.
You know, let me talk.
My beef is done.
Let me talk out the other side of my mouth. You know, because Ohio State, it just seems like college football and the powers that be. You go back to the Sugar Bowl in Arkansas a decade ago. Oh no, we'll let them play with the ineligible players, and then they'll come back and serve their suspension. Well, they changed the rules for them. And then this year they changed the rules not once but twice for Ohio State. So it seems like the universe of college football ever evolves around Ohio State. And, hey, if we need to change a rule or bend a rule or break a rule for Ohio State, then we'll do it. So if we need to change the schedule, don't be surprised when they do. But in the end, the college football playoff national championship game, I just want to be entertained. So how am I going to be most entertained? with the best players on the field, right?
So that's fair.
I just want to be entertained. So I'm just being selfish. I just want to sit back, get my popcorn ready, and watch the best contest. So it's not really about, you know, fairness or equity or what Alabama's had to do versus Ohio State. At this point, I'm just being selfish. I just want the best football game.
Other Ohio news, this is NFL related. Kevin Stefanski, who's the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, has COVID. They got two members of the coaching staff and two more players that have it. Doesn't look like the NFL is going to move this football game. The Browns haven't been to the playoffs since 2002. They're matching up against their rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in Heinz Field this weekend, and they haven't won a playoff game since 94.
Okay, so this is a wild card game, and it's Cleveland. What would be the NFL's response if this was the AFC or NFC championship game, and let's just say it was, you know, Mahomes that had it or Aaron Rodgers that had it. It was Green Bay or Kansas City. Would they be more willing
100%
to move it at that point?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
that would be in Ohio, like you're talking about the Ohio State. That would be that type of equation. Other Ohio State news, Urban Meyer, this is from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Urban Meyer is wanting $12 million per year to coach the Jacksonville Jaguars. $12 million a year.
For a guy that's never coached in the NFL. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is going to be their number one draft pick. That is going to be a fascinating coaching search to watch. The Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator has interviewed for that job as well as a lot of different, or is going to interview. There's a lot of different coaching candidates if Urban Meyer doesn't take it. Last NFL news tidbit, Cam Curl had himself quite a year. Pro Football Focus is all rookie team. He found himself on it as of this week. So really excited about for Cam, the former Arkansas Razorback.
Try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Chad, appreciate your time this morning. We are going to get into Arkansas-Tennessee basketball tonight, but I do want to start with the football program in Knoxville. I know that you're a graduate, big-time fan, grew up with the program. And when Arkansas played Tennessee this year, I felt like it was a tale of two teams. One was trending in the right direction. One was trending in the wrong. Hogs got the win. Now there's rumors floating about Jeremy Pruitt, Gus Malzahn, Hugh Freeze. Man, just give us kind of a feel of what's going on with the Knoxville football program right now.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on, guys. I think it's in a holding pattern right now. That's the best way to put it. With this NCAA investigation, and you know, you've also got rumors and people talking about, well, why did this NCAA investigation come about? Isn't this something that normally would be handled internally? If someone blew the whistle on something that went on with a recruit in Tennessee, is it Tennessee sort of self-sabotaging themselves in order to get Jeremy Pruitt fired because people at Tennessee want him gone, is one possibility. But I think that's where we are right now. Philip Fulmer, clearly, he had that statement when they accepted the bid of the Liberty Bowl before they had to back out because of COVID-19, talking about a great development opportunity for this roster and for Jeremy Pruitt going into year four. So I think it's pretty clear that Philip Fulmer, the guy who hired Jeremy Pruitt, wants him to get a fourth year, wants to tell everyone, hey, it was a weird year for everyone this year with his COVID season. He had won 8 straight games, and then they fell off a cliff for whatever reason. And I guess whatever reasons Jeremy Pruitt gave Philip Fulmer was good enough for him to say, okay, you deserve one more year. Let's turn this thing around and figure it out. But there's a lot of people in Knoxville that don't want him to have a fourth year, that feel like the writing's on the wall, and they've already seen enough from Jeremy Pruitt, even after a great turnaround in 2019. So, you know, where's the program right now in terms of Jeremy Pruitt and leadership? I think I would sit around and wait to see if he's allowed to hire a coach. He's got 2 coaching vacancies right now. He's got an offensive line coach to hire and a defensive line coach to hire. They've yet to make a hire. Well, why is that? Well, that's because he's not allowed to do anything until they're sure he's going to be the coach next year. So I think if they announce a hire on that staff, that's a pretty good indication that Philip Fulmer has won and Jeremy Pruitt will be back in 2021. Until then, I think, like myself and a lot of other people, they're just sitting around waiting to see if Tennessee's going to pull a Texas then, you know, remove one coach and hire another one on the same day. Because I do think that's how it would probably go down this time. I don't know that there's going to be a big search. I think it would be you have someone in place that's agreed to it, and you do both at the same time.
Chad, the basketball program is a completely different world than the football team. Rick Barnes has this Tennessee Volunteer squad as probably, and I think it's pretty consensus, the number one team in the SEC. I wonder from your perspective, like what that arena, and I know Thompson Bowling isn't full, but what he's kind of done with the basketball program as of late. There, I have some friends that went to Tennessee, some sports radio people I know. The nickname regular season Rick has gotten tossed around, not only with his time in Tennessee, but also at Texas. What does this team look like to you, and how do you think they'll perform in the postseason with all the talent they have down there in Knoxville?
Well, I think it's the perfect model for what the football team should be looking at, honestly. It is what the culture that Rick Barnes has built with the basketball program. This is a sustainable thing, right? He did it originally with a bunch of 2- and 3-star players that he developed into NBA players. Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Jordan Bone was a 4-star guy coming in, but guys like that that became the core of that team that were looked over by pretty much every other big program, and he developed them into SEC champions. Then once that started happening, he started bringing in 5-star players. Josiah Jordan-James a year ago, Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson this year. 2 5-star guys, by the way, that come off the bench for this Tennessee team. So that shows the depth of this squad, that they have 2 5-star freshmen, one of which is probably a one-and-done and a lottery pick that comes off the bench for this team. It also shows the ultimate buy-in and selfless approach of this roster. Look, it's easier to do in basketball when you're talking about, what, 12, 15 guys that you have on a team at all times and a football roster that's a lot bigger. But I think that's sort of the model for what Tennessee football should strive to be, is what Rick Barnes has accomplished with this basketball program. And, hey, regular season Rick or not, I think Tennessee fans would take 3 or 4 months of joy that they've seen with this basketball program over the last few years, one disappointing game in the tournament, as opposed to the alternative, which is 0 success in basketball. So I think Rick Barnes has done a terrific job, and this Tennessee team is very good. But as they showed on Saturday, guys, into Alabama, they're capable of laying an egg just like anyone else. They were terrible in that game. Alabama played great. They were 8 for 11 from 3 in the second half. So that's why tonight's matchup scares me a little bit on the Tennessee end, because when you get teams that run a lot and shoot high volume threes, there's always an X factor with those teams. If they're hot, they're almost impossible to beat. If they're not making, it's almost impossible for those teams to win. So I really thought this stretch was going to be an interesting one for Tennessee, with Alabama and Arkansas both coming to Knoxville back-to-back.
You mentioned, you know, the threes and Arkansas's ability to shoot from the perimeter and defend the perimeter. Which set of matchups interest you more in this game? Is it the guard play and Victor Bailey Jr. and Moses Moody and that set of guards from each team? Or is it the inside play tonight with Fulkerson and 7'3" inside man Connor Vanover, who likes to shoot the three from the outside? Which set of matchups tonight do you think weighs heavier in this game between Arkansas and Tennessee?
I think the best individual matchup is Fulkerson and Vanover, the 7'3" shooter, because that's the one where they could exploit Fulkerson. I think down low, Fulkerson can do a good job against him. He's so slight of frame. So I think he can do a good job down low. But, you mentioned it at the beginning. It's guard play. It's containing the three-point shot for Arkansas. It's the reason Tennessee lost against Alabama. I think it's a 2-point game at halftime. Tennessee did a good job of limiting, they contested 3-point attempts in the first half, and then in the second half, because Alabama did a good job in the first half of penetration, getting to the rim, did a great job of getting open threes and knocking them down, and it put the game away. So that's what I'm watching for this Tennessee team, is just the bounce back from a disappointing performance in their SEC home opener on Saturday, and how they defend the three against Arkansas. And look, we're going to see it with some of the better teams in the SEC, and I'm putting Tennessee, Missouri, Alabama, Arkansas, that round robin is definitely some of the better teams in the SEC, that what I've seen this year. Tennessee goes to Missouri and absolutely hammers them. It's 23-4 before you can blink, and the game's over. And it was never close, and Tennessee's up 30 at one point in the game. And then Missouri goes to Arkansas and wins, which surprised me. And then Alabama comes to Knoxville and wins, yeah. which surprised me. So I think we're going to see some interesting matchups in that round robin of the top four or five teams this conference. And I'm putting Tennessee and Arkansas in that top four or five.
Yeah, then Missouri goes and loses again last night. Give our audience an idea that I think a lot of people probably just saw the final score of Tennessee losing to Alabama, but probably didn't see the game, maybe saw some highlights. What happened in that game? Because from an Arkansas perspective, you just see the score and you think, man, you can't catch Tennessee at a worse time coming off a loss because you know you're going to get their undivided attention and full focus. Arkansas comes off a horrible home performance. So exactly how did that unfold and how did Alabama best Tennessee this past weekend?
I think two things happened. I think Tennessee, honestly, they experienced adversity for the first time this season. You know, they were 7-0. They had wins over Colorado, who's a top 20 net ranking team. Went over Cincinnati. They went at Missouri easily. You thought their first SEC road game was going to be a challenge, and it really wasn't. And they come home, and they face a little bit of adversity against Alabama. They're not playing well. They're not shooting well. I don't think they handled it well. I think Alabama gave them a lot of chances to get back in that game and win it. It was a 7 or 6 point game for a good 4 or 5 minute stretch, second half, where neither team scored. So I don't think Tennessee handled adversity well the first time they've seen it all year. So how do they bounce back and play with it during adversity the rest of the way? But also, it was just a disjointed effort from the start. Tennessee's offense was just a little bit out of sync. Alabama's guards did a great job of penetrating. That's a big concern against Arkansas. Was Tennessee keeping the guards in front of them? They were doing – it was way too easy for them to get to the basket and finish in this game. And they relied too heavily on the perimeter. Look, Tennessee is a balanced team in terms of how they score. They can go down low. They can penetrate. They can occasionally shoot the three. They're not a high-volume three-point shooting team. If they're shooting a ton of threes, something's wrong. And they shot a ton of threes and a ton of outside shots against Alabama, and something was definitely wrong for that reason.
Talking with Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone here on The Morning Rush. Chad, let's shift the conversation to college football. This is breaking from AL.com that the college football playoff on Monday might get moved because of COVID cases within the Ohio State program. Chad, in your opinion, if Ohio State has enough people to play but there's still COVID issues, should they play that game on Monday night?
Yes, they should play. When you say if they have enough people to play, are you talking about the 53-man deal?
53 position group. Yeah, position group, all that stuff.
Which turned out to be kind of like a guideline and not a rule, right? Mm-hmm. For the SEC, it was still, hey, this is what we're going to go by, but you can just cancel the game whenever you want if you declare that you have COVID issues throughout the season. So I think Ohio State's doing a little bit of that. Personally, I think that unless they have, let's say their entire offensive and defensive line have COVID, you know, then yeah, let's move the game. But if it's a few players out, I think they should play the game as scheduled. I also want to see both teams with a full complement of players because I think it's got a chance to be a pretty good game. If Ohio State plays like they did against Clemson, I think it's going to be a good national championship game. So, look, the football fan in me, the competitor in me, wants to see the two best possible teams on the field. But from a what is right and what is wrong in a pandemic season, I think with the limited hands that teams have had to play with throughout the season, if it's just a couple players that are out and you're trying to mask that and say it's a huge outbreak, I think they should probably play the game as scheduled.
Ohio State's due a break, though. I mean, they need to probably give them an edge here. They
another one.
They haven't had a break in a long time. So.
Yeah, that's a program really that's been down on their luck for so long, guys. You know, sure. They continue to get slided by their own conference and the NCAA over and over again.
Trust me.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, Chad, Arkansas fans know that all too well. When five players were supposed to be suspended for the Sugar Bowl in 2011, they let them play and then they left the following year. So they know that all too well. Chad, last question before we let you go, man. We really appreciate your time this morning. We saw DeVonta Smith win the Heisman last night. I was ecstatic. I thought he deserved it. You got two Heisman winners competing this week in your own backyard. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Ravens as the home team, as the visiting team, favored this weekend. Now, we know last time what happened in a playoff game when the Ravens were favored against the Titans. How do you see that game shaking out in Nissan Stadium this weekend?
This is a crazy rivalry in the playoffs because the road teams always won. You know, they've played four times. The Titans have won both games, including last year in Baltimore. Baltimore's won both games in Nashville. So it's a little weird that way, and that's why you see the Ravens the favorite in this game. And the Ravens are on a five-game winning streak, so I understand all of that. Look, the Titans know how to defend Lamar Jackson, and it's pretty simple. Even though the Titans have a terrible defense, the Ravens are dead last in passing offense in the league. And the Titans' biggest problem is stopping the pass. So this is the matchup you want to see from that perspective. You keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket. You know, with a lot of quarterbacks, you're trying to force them to move, force them out of the pocket. You don't want Lamar Jackson out of the pocket. You bottle him up. You contain rush. You make him throw to beat you. And that has been the formula, and it has worked for the Titans. It worked when they beat them this regular season. It worked when they went up to Baltimore and won in the divisional round a year ago. That is the formula for the Titans. And let's face it, guys, this defense is historically bad for the Titans, but for the Titans franchise, this offense is historically good with Derrick Henry, with Ryan Tannehill, with A.J. Brown. This offense is dynamic. I think 40 is the goal. I really do. I think it's an offense that needs to put up 40 points to win in the playoffs. And that's got to be the goal every single time they go out if they're going to have a chance to advance.
Love and Wild Card Weekend starts on Saturday. Really excited to get the NFL playoffs back in a swing in a situation where some people didn't even think we were going to get to this point. Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone there in Nashville. Biggest Tennessee fan, one of the biggest I know. Chad, we really appreciate your time this morning. Hopefully this game will at least be enjoyable tonight from both perspectives.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game, guys. So good luck. It should be fun. And I think Arkansas's got a good team and a good thing going with Eric Musselman. So it's going to be fun to watch both these teams this year. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Two rising programs in the SEC. Rick Barnes heading up the Volunteers and Eric Musselman heading up the Hogs.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
So kind of the big talking points of today are these as follows. Barry Odom, Jamil Walker coming back. Everyone's so pumped about that. Tykeus Crawford, four-star, formerly of Carthage, Texas, and Charlotte. He's committed to your football program. Devontae Smith won the Heisman last night. College football playoff may be postponed because of issues of COVID within the Ohio State program. It's yet to be announced. They're just issues at this point. The University of Arkansas officially announced Kenny Guyton as the wide receivers coach. In the Tennessee game tonight, a lot of people are really excited about that.
And it's another good measuring stick. I know Tennessee lost to Alabama. Does that really change your opinion of whether or not Tennessee's one of the best in the SEC? I don't think one loss. I think what it tells you is this could be a topsy-turvy up and down SEC. We're already seeing that through the results of the first, you know, two or three bowl games.
I think Tennessee is consensus the top team in the SEC. I was just a little hesitant. You thought they were top.
Before the Alabama game, I mean, you listen to, I value Jimmy Dykes' opinion. He had them clearly in his top three in the country. I don't know that necessarily one loss moves them out of that opinion. Now, you know, we'll hear what Jimmy has to say. I mean, I trust those guys that see a lot more games nationally than I trust my own opinion, because I haven't seen everybody in the country and haven't watched nearly as much college basketball as people like Jimmy. So if he tells me Tennessee is one of the top three, four, five, what's the difference between being number three or number five in the country at this point? Not a lot at this point. So either way, Tennessee's one of the better teams in the country that Arkansas is playing tonight.
Yeah, and it's the best team and best opponent you played to this point, so you're going to have to show up tonight. We'll see what Arkansas team comes to the table, comes to Knoxville, and comes to Thompson Bowling Arena. All right, it's time for your favorite segment of the week, What's Your Beef Wednesday?
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
And it's brought to you this morning by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. Two great locations, both on Weddington in Fayetteville and then on Arkansas Avenue in Russellville. I was talking with Keith several times earlier this week just about the coaching discussion, what's been going on. He is as big as an Arkansas fan as I know, and man, does he know how to put together a fantastic burger. It's the best in Arkansas. Not only that, fries are best in Arkansas. They have incredible milkshakes. If you haven't stopped on by, you need to. Whether you're going to the Arkansas basketball game this weekend against the Georgia Bulldogs, or you're traveling through Russellville at any point, you need to stop on by. Both locations have dine-in. The Russellville location has takeout as well. And in the Fayetteville location, you can order online. You can order through the app. You can order a number. You can go through the drive-thru, curbside pickup. There are a number of different ways that you need to tie a delectable. I think I'm going to go to the game this weekend, and I think I'm going to have to get me a double fries and a milkshake, Tommy, prior to the game. I think I'm going to have to do that.
And then maybe. And then sit through the game?
Mm-hmm. And then sit through the game. But there will be veggies.
I would hate to be sitting next to you.
There will be veggies on the burger, which gets into my point about this. So you guys have been so obnoxious, so obtuse about this. So
obtuse.
I said.
Well, clearly someone has seen Shawshank Redemption. Nah, obtuse, he uses the word.
Excellent phrase from Tim Robbins. Tim Robbins. Yeah. I couldn't think of his last name, so an excellent phrase. Here was what I stated as we began journey in 2021.
Okay.
I said, as I consumed 20 chicken nuggets, 4 mozzarella sticks, an Oreo shake, and I had something else that night, that this would be my last unhealthy meal. There's not a single healthy part of that meal. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything about unhealthy snacks. I didn't say anything about everything in the meal had to be healthy. I just said unhealthy meal. And for whatever reason, you guys took that as an ironclad, this guy can only eat stuff that benefits his body from a health standpoint.
Okay.
And so my beef this morning is it's like I get these looks every time from you two and everyone else, and anytime I consume something that may or may not be the healthiest of the food groups, it's like I'm breaking the Ten Commandments.
Right, because you're the same guy that if we have an opinion on a football team or a basketball team, and hey, and I might change that opinion.
Right.
You're quick to say, no, back in April, you said blah, 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 and I've got it right here on tape. Twitter post
where
you posted.
It's in my brain.
And so you're quick to point out when someone else says something, and then you try to hold their feet to the fire.
You're
really good about that. So I think it is our duty that if your desire is to eat nothing but healthy meals this entire calendar year, I think it is our duty as your friend. No, as your friend
okay,
to hold you accountable.
That's fair.
Earlier this morning, our lovely teammate and coworker Betty brings in a bag of donut holes into the studio, which, by the way, I want to point out, I had the willpower to withstand and have, how many did I have?
Zero.
I had none. My hands did not touch the bag.
Mm-hmm.
I have no such willpower.
You had zero willpower, SmackDown, but about 10 seconds, your hands were pawing the bag.
Yeah, it's a snack.
And you were trying to claim this isn't a meal. This is a snack.
It's a snack. I had 3 donut holes. That qualifies as a snack.
So I'm done with all of this. Is clearly nothing more than an attention ploy by you.
A facade.
And I'm going to get on the Ruskin train and just unfollow you on Twitter because it's nonsense.
Oh, that would hurt.
It's just nonsense. Nothing you say on Twitter can be believed anymore.
That's just that hurts.
This cuts to the core of your credibility. If you're going to say things, back him up and mean him. Follow through. Have some follow through. Either follow through or there's going to be an unfollow. It's one or the other.
I just checked.
Whichever follow you want.
Ruskin does follow me on Twitter, so I'm relieved to say that.
Oh, he does now? Because he claimed on the air yesterday he doesn't.
Well, he's a liar, I guess. So. First off, you just go out on this outlandish take about me coming back to... Listen, when someone...
Outlandish? You ate the donut hole. You ate the donut hole 15 minutes ago.
To start out
and claim it's a snack. No one eats a snack at 8 a.m.
Can I talk? To start out your retort, you say that I like to hold your feet to the fire in certain takes. I don't just do that with you. I do, because when someone says something and they're they're very standoffish or they're very opinionated about something and it doesn't come true, I want to be like, okay, why did you, it didn't come true. Why did you believe that and that? And you do the same thing. Don't act like I'm the only one that does that. You do the exact same thing. So let's just cool it on that. Number two, as far as...
I don't think I've ever done anything right now.
As far as the healthy stuff goes, I don't know. Why is it that big of a deal?
Because you just, happens when you eat three donut holes?
Are you trying to live vicariously through me because I have a fantastic metabolism and I can eat whatever I want and really nothing changes? Because that's what it sounds like. You seem almost frustrated to the point that I can do whatever I want when it comes to eating. And it doesn't really affect me that much.
You can do whatever you want to eat.
You want to talk about heated. Both of you guys are very heated about this when it comes to that.
Because we want the best for you.
The best for me, huh?
No, you said you're going to be eating
exact words.
I just get tired of, I mean, clearly, and I know the show left our airwaves a couple of days ago, but the Stu Gotts in you is living large. I mean, the words that come out of your mouth and your actual deed and action do not merge. They're not lining up.
Well, here's what I'll say. Now, Jenkins, I do remember you earlier this week saying that when it comes to just what we're talking about and stuff, you were like, why are you doing this to your life? Why are you doing this? So it almost seems like you want me to break what I've set aside.
No.
You said, no, your exact words were, why would you do this to yourself? Dude, just have fun. Enjoy the year.
You've already
basically gone back of what you're now doing this morning.
What?
Secondly, I can do whatever I want.
He's the Stu Gotts. He's deflecting blame.
All I said was I'm not going to have another unhealthy meal in 2020.
You've already had three in this studio.
As long as I've had either a vegetable or it's a snack, then I'm in the clear. That's how it is. It's not unhealthy if there's a vegetable or if it's just a snack. So if I eat a frozen pizza in an hour and it's in the midst of before lunch, that's just a snack.
No.
That's all that is.
God, you're going to look like me one of these days.
Listen.
And that's okay.
That's okay. Because fat men know how to eat, and we still have a good time.
There's nothing wrong with being overweight.
I just want you to be credible.
I didn't say I was overweight, partner.
I'm not overweight. I'm just under tall.
There you go.
It's the height in use fall.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
What's
the perfect weight if I was Conor Vanover?
Listen, I'm not. I am not just credible. I'm incredible. And so when it comes to just this conversation, I just have the ability to take this a variety. There wasn't a nailed down, I have to abide by this rule. I just said I'm not having another unhealthy meal in 2021, which I'm not. I'll eat either veggies or it'll just be considered a snack.
That is not how it works.
That is how it works. There's no rules that have said it. Like, there's no rules that I have to abide by. So, what's your beef this morning? Is it just that?
No, that was my beef this morning.
Okay.
That you're trying to portray one image on social media that is a complete falsehood and lie. So, folks, I mean, if you're following Ty on social media, just know it's all propped up with lies and propaganda and falsehoods.
I'm just abiding by the rules that social media seems to have constricted to this point.
It's all lies.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.